From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 7th day of July, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. And then we'll take up the agricultural energy markets with GrowMark's Harry Cooney. And as we close out our half-hour program, Don Day, meteorologist, will help us look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll hear from the statisticians in the five top corn-growing states in the nation. They are in order of production: Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished in the wheat pit lower for the day, as it did the rest of the pits. The contract down 6¾ cents in the nearby July at 483¾ on its settlement. September at 512½, 6¾ lower. In December, wheat for the soft red at 538½, down 6¾ from Chicago. We go to Kansas City, where July hard red winter wheat settled 7 cents lower at 535¼. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, 7¾ lower, 335½, the settlement price for the July contract. Once again, down 7¾. September at 325½, 9¼ lower. And December, the harvest month corn at 335¾, down 8½ cents. March contract 349, down 7¼. The May at 358, down 7¼. July soybean futures today, $11.33½, down 66½ cents. The August at 10.53½, down 65. September, 64½ cents lower at $9.58. And the November beans at $8.95, down 68 cents. January futures at $9.75, 65¼ lower. March contract in the bean pit for 2010 at $9.25, down 60¾ cents. July bean meal at $3.81, down $20.20. The August down $18.50 at $3.52. July bean oil at $32.90, down $1.39. August live cattle futures $84.20, 22½ lower. The August feeders at $102.65, down $1.15. And July lean hogs 5 cents higher at $60.70. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like for the afternoon. Settlement prices in from crude oil. Nearby August contract at $62.93 a barrel, down $1.12. August ethanol at $1.48 and 6 cents, just about 9 tenths of a cent lower. And the natural gas at $3.38 and 4 cents, down 10¾ cents. The RBOB gasoline at $1.72 and 2 cents, that's $0.07 lower. August heating oil futures at $1.59 and 7 cents, 2¼ cents lower, that's diesel fuel. And August propane at $0.72 and 8 cents, down 4¼ cents. July gold futures at $928.80 an ounce. Settled today up $4.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently just about 112 points lower at 82.14. And the U.S. dollar is trading at 80.62. That's up 0.23. The CRB index on the afternoon at 236.75 is down 9.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. In the south and the eastern parts of Indiana this evening, clear to partly cloudy skies. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, with a few scattered showers, mainly during the early evening hours. Lows will range from 54 in eastern Indiana to 65 in the western parts of Illinois. And then tomorrow, in the northern and central sections of Illinois and western Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from around 70 near Lake Michigan to 90 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says scattered showers, a few thunderstorms expected to return to the area during the weekend. Heaviest rainfall will be in the Illinois River Valley into central Indiana. All areas are likely to get some rain over the weekend, with the highest amounts being in the very far south. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour, right here on AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was an ugly day in Chicago yesterday if you were a hedger or an owner of crop, which most farmers would be, and a second ugly day there today, down 60 more, say more than 60 cents in Chicago for the soybeans. What happened?
Can we say the word bloodbath?
Okay.
The two things happened, Todd. Today is number one. As we looked back at the commitment of traders report, we saw that the index funds and the traditional funds were tremendously long on the bean pit, and even to short, even in the corn market, and very short in the wheat market. And we have seen the crude oil basically put in that's the outside market that we've been looking at and watching mm-hmm. very closely for a very long time. And then inflation-type additive or factor that we look at, and its chart does not look good at all. It seems to have put in a top, and along with that, with the rating decrease just slightly yesterday and the overnight bounce, we looked for a lot of the funds, looked for an idea that maybe exiting on some strength this morning, and the commission houses, the commercials, the funds, and the index houses all tried to sell it this morning, and that pushed us through the 50-day moving average, and that turned on computer selling on top of that. And finally, at the end of the day, the corn succumbed to the great weakness over in the bean pit. But all technical selling, the weather forecast continues to look good, but no better than it's looked over the last 3 or 4 days. And we just saw too many people trying to sell and not enough people trying to buy today.
Well, that means people were getting out, especially on a technical sale, that they were all sort of heading for the gate at the same time, which pushes futures sharply lower, although a 60-cent run and combined with yesterday's losses is pretty deep. Fundamentally, the marketplace really hasn't, I suppose, changed very much in the last 4 to 5 days. Do you see a bottom in the near term, and will it bounce, especially in the old crop soybeans, which most have thought would just run out by the time we got to the fall of this year?
Well, you know, there's two things. As we look at it, number one, July closed at 11:33.5 today. New crop closed at 8:95. So they are still holding their premium quite well there. We look to probably see the old crop continue to take its, you know, the spread did look terrible there for a while today, losing up to over 20, 30 cents at one time, and it closed actually picking up 1.5 cents. So we do look for that to come back into the factor that it will move in that direction. Will we regain what we lost over the last 2 days? That's a big question, Todd. I think that we're going to find out a lot more come Friday with what the government sort of uses for their production numbers, what they use for usage numbers, and see what those bottom lines and the carryouts do look like. But we know that the stocks on hand for our last report were a little higher than they thought, so we thought we could add a few bushels back. But there's been some very aggressive talk of what the usage for next year will be that might keep the next year's carry out very tight also, and that could lend a little strength back to the November beans.
Any final word before I let you go?
Well, you know, we did see a little bit of glimmer down there in the hog market, a little lower meal prices and like that. And we are hearing that some advisory firms were saying to liquidate short positions, and if you wanted to stay short, to move to the options market.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us on a Tuesday afternoon right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, the state statisticians and their farmer participants were busy over the weekend tallying up just how well crops in each of their respective areas are doing. In a moment, we'll hear from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Nationally, they tallied up for the USDA's crop production and weather report like this for the corn market. By the week's end, that's July the 5th, 8% of the 2009 corn crop, they say, was at or beyond the silking stage. That was 3 points ahead of last year, but 8 points behind the five-year rolling average. Crop development was at or behind the average pace in all states with one exception, North Carolina. Ideal growing conditions in Tennessee allowed 39% of the state's crop to begin silking during the week. Overall, 71% of the nation's corn crop now rated in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from a week ago, but 9 points better than last year. On the soybean side of the ledger, nationally 96% of the bean crop had emerged as of late last week, 2 points ahead of the pace a year ago, but 2 points slower than normal. In Iowa, the largest soybean-producing state, emergence was stagnant as producers in the southeastern part of the state continued to battle soggy fields in their efforts to even plant the intended acreage. Blooming had begun in all estimating states and reached 14% complete by July the 5th, 2 points ahead of last year, but 10 points behind the rolling five-year average. 66% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 68% a week ago and 59% a year ago for the soybeans. On the winter wheat, nationwide winter wheat producers harvested 16% of their crop last week. That puts progress at 56% complete, 4 points ahead of last year's pace, 3 points behind the average. A rapid harvest pace continued in Kansas, where producers had a second week of mostly sunny skies and over 5 days suitable for field work. Overall, 47% of the wheat crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Now, here are the state statisticians.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the Weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending July 5, 2009. Just as many were gearing up for fireworks, rain began to fall over the holiday weekend on some areas. Many farmers were finally able to enter fields to finish herbicide applications. Temperatures were slightly below normal for what was a good week for Iowa crops and livestock. The corn crop has just begun the tassel stage with 2% tasseled, compared to the five-year average of 11%. Corn condition was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 14% fair, 55% good, and 27% excellent. The corn stand was rated at 95% of normal, with 100% considered normal. The corn stand's tallest height average 67 inches, with an overall average height of 52 inches. Most of the soybean acres have been planted with 97% emerged. Soybean emergence is slightly ahead of last year, but behind the five-year average. Soybeans blooming in Iowa reached 23%, 3 days ahead of last year, but 1 day behind the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 16% fair, 59% good, and 21% excellent. This has been Brad Parks with USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 5th. Temperatures averaging nearly 6 degrees below normal finally broke the heat wave from the week before. Scattered precipitation was received in most areas of the state, with above normal accumulations in all but the northern two crop reporting districts. Overall, topsoil moisture supplies were rated 3% short, 75% adequate, and 22% surplus. With an abundance of moisture, the corn crop continues to make excellent progress and was reported at 5% in the silk stage compared to 1% 1 year ago and 31% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn emerged was 41 inches, a 12-inch growth spurt in just 1 week. Last year, average height was 45 inches and 61 inches is the five-year average. Leading the state in corn height was the Central Crop Reporting District once again at 51 inches. Overall, the corn crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Soybean emergence advanced to 94%, compared to 95% 1 year ago and 99% for the five-year average. 4% of the state's acreage was reported blooming, and this compares to 10% 1 year ago and 29% normally. Statewide, the soybean crop was also rated in fair to mostly good condition. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported 91% ripe, the same as 1 year ago, but trailing the 96% five-year average. Harvest continued last week with 62% of the wheat cut, compared with 52% 1 year ago and 82% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 5, 2009. A cool start to July had temperatures averaging 5 degrees below normal across the state. Precipitation was widespread, with most areas receiving a half inch of rain or more. Wheat conditions are mostly good or excellent and remain well above last year. Most of the wheat has turned color and is beginning to ripen. Harvest is over half complete in the southeast and is moving westward. Corn conditions rated 84% good or excellent. Corn is beginning to silk. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent and are beginning to bloom. Most of the oats have headed and a few fields have been harvested for grain. Alfalfa first cutting is virtually complete. Second cutting is a quarter complete and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Wild hay, pasture, and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director for USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 5, 2009. Statewide, growth of corn and soybeans was on pace with the five-year average. Field corn height was 42 inches, just below the five-year average of 43 inches. Soybean height was 11 inches compared to the average of 12 inches. Topsoil moisture supplies declined, with 69% rated adequate to surplus compared to 78% a week ago. Topsoil moisture remains short to very short across central Minnesota, where precipitation amounts since April 1st range from 2 to over 5 inches below normal. Crops remain in generally good to excellent condition statewide. 82% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, and soybeans were rated at 74% in good or excellent condition. 30% of the spring wheat was heading, with 59% of the crop rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending July 5, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director for USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 5th. A return to another week of unseasonably cool temperatures slowed crop development across the state. Some farmers are running their irrigation systems as the lighter soils begin to dry out. The clear weather allowed farmers to make substantial progress on the first cutting of hay and the wheat harvest. Farmers remain busy finishing planting double cropping of soybeans or applying herbicides. 2% of the planted corn acreage has silt, compared with 0% for last year and 17% for the five-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 64% good to excellent, compared with 61% for last year at this time. 95% of the soybean acreage has emerged, compared to 96% for last year and 98% for the five-year average. 3% of the planted soybean acreage is blooming, compared with 4% for last year at this time and 20% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 64% good to excellent, compared with 58% last year at this time. Harvesting of the winter wheat acreage is 55% complete, compared to 36% last year and 60% for the five-year average. Wheat condition is rated at 66% good to excellent, compared to 77% last year. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Our thanks go to the folks in the NAS field offices from, of course, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. They join us each and every Tuesday. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. And on this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined also now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets by Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, some interesting times in the crude oil market. Of course, we were well above $100 and $148 or $50 last year. It wasn't all that long ago, and now we're back down to what? Just about $67 today. Can you tell me about the marketplace and what it looks like?
Well, it is interesting. That anniversary is coming up. I think it's like on the 11th or 13th here of July. Just a year ago, we hit that all-time high right around $147. So I don't know if there'll be many celebrations here in the next week or so, but that date is definitely coming up. Well, what we've had here is we've had a market that's rallied considerably off the winter lows, and the seasonals would suggest that you peak out by midsummer in the energy complex, if you look at about the last 3 to 5 year average. And this year so far, what we've done is we peaked the crude oil out there in early to mid-June, and then we hit another peak, about an equal peak there in the last day of June. Since then, we've sold off quite a bit, and a number of commodities, not just the energies, have sold off. I mean, we've seen it in the grain complex, and the metals have sold off. Now what's starting to occur is the stock markets are starting to sink. The Dow right now down about 140 points here this afternoon, and so the thinking is that if these other markets are going down, sometimes they all kind of go in a group, and so that peak that we had in June could end up actually being the seasonal peak here for the summer in the energy complex.
Would you just call this a softening of the marketplace and normal seasonal kind of activity then?
Well, I think the normal seasonal activity of putting some type of peak in midsummer, I could say yes, it is doing that. What some of the people that try to get it refined down a little closer would say is that, well, it looks like this peak came a little early. It depends on how you define midsummer, you know. It's kind of like what the definition of is. And so it came a little early this year, but they could be. That could have been the peak. And from here now, we're starting to get some bearish chart signals. On the price charts, some of the technicians are starting to tell us that these last few days of price weakness is starting to trigger some sell signals on some of those price charts that the technicians look at. So some of the fund traders that watch the computers mostly for their trading might start selling more contracts if we see further weakness in here.
What does it tell you, if anything at all, about what producers should be doing about fuel needs and then, of course, about fertilizer as well?
Well, what we've done on the fuel side is we tend to look at the period from about Thanksgiving until mid-February each year as a good time to lock in for spring and fall. That's what we did this year in gasoline and diesel fuel along with the propane. We'll be looking to do more of that in the wintertime. We are looking here in the near term in the next couple weeks to see if this thing weakens enough that we may take another little piece on the long side going into the fall harvest period when a lot of fuel is locked in, but we may not. We may just stay on the sidelines and then just look for the next big buying opportunity as we get into that late fall and winter time. It seems like year in and year out, the winter, early winter, late fall, early winter time period is one of the best of the year for buying for the entire next year.
Does the market action at all scare you very much?
No. Oh, no. These are just, you know, a lot of times in the media even, we've heard a lot of reports about how volatile things are. And I think that's what we just have to get to live with here now. I mean, these markets have been jumping around a lot, but markets have been doing that for years and years. And it's just part of it. It makes things a lot more volatile in our businesses, but that's what folks like us are here for, to help them along with.
Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He helps us with the agricultural energy markets at about once a month right here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather Forecast.
It's Macaroni Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1568, William Turner died, an English naturalist and botanist. Turner is known as the father of English botany. In 1752, Joseph Marie Jacquard was born, a French silk weaver. He is the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom. The machine was controlled by perforated control cards and was the basis for the modern automatic loom. In 1862, the first Land Grant Act was passed. Public lands were sold for agricultural education. This was the start of many state universities throughout the United States, including right here at the University of Illinois. In 1928, Otto Friedrich Rottweiler perfected the bread slicing machine that he began work on in 1912. The first piece of sliced bread was produced and sold at M.F. Bench's Chillicothe Baking Company on Elm Street in Chillicothe, Missouri. And in 1936, Henry F. Phillips patented the Phillips head screw and screwdriver. By the way, General Motors was convinced to use the screws on its 1936 Cadillac. And by 1940, virtually every American automaker had switched to Phillips screws. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather right here in the Midwest to begin with.
Well, we're going to continue with some typical warm summertime temperatures, but we are going to cool off a little bit as we head towards the second half of this week and the weekend, and that's also going to bring a better chance for showers and thunderstorms, especially for the central, northern, and western Corn Belt areas as a series of systems will scoot across southern Canada, and that's going to help trigger some occasional shower and storm activity.
A bit earlier in our program, the state statistician from Minnesota told us that the central part of that state was suffering a little bit of dryness. Will it be fixed?
Yeah, well, it'll certainly get some help. The thunderstorm pattern is going to extend north into central and especially southern Minnesota. So odds are good that Minnesota and those northern plain states, as well as the eastern Dakotas, northern and western Iowa, those areas likely going to have most of the moisture out of this pattern.
How much moisture do you expect out of the pattern?
Well, I would not be surprised at all to see 2, 3, 4 inches of rain over a 5 or 6 day period in many of those areas.
Wow, that is a lot of rain, I would think, for this time of year.
Well, it is. It's going to be associated with some heavier thunderstorms. That's not going to cover all of those areas, but the heavier precipitation will be underneath some pretty hefty thunderstorms, which will have a lot of moisture to work with. It's one thing that's not been lacking this early summer season is available moisture for storms to work with.
And how will southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Ohio, parts of Mississippi, and Tennessee, those areas fare?
Well, first of all, starting further south, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, southern Missouri, those areas are going to likely miss out on the bulk of the rainfall. And I think central and northern Indiana and Illinois, as well as most of Ohio, should have some decent shots of rain. If there's any portion of Illinois, Indiana, that may just be on the cusp of the better rain chances, it'll be the extreme southern counties.
And then how's the hard red winter wheat harvest faring?
Faring pretty good. Some dry high pressure and only a little bit of thunderstorm activity noted. Although, as harvest moves north, further north across Nebraska and into the Dakotas, there's going to be a bit more rain up there.
Monsoon season is taking place in India.
And it's on schedule. Monsoon rains and more on the way for those folks.
Ukraine for their wheat crop?
Not bad. In fact, most of Western and Central Europe are looking at some good chances for precipitation. Nothing excessive, but near normal temperatures, near normal amounts of precipitation. It's the far western areas of Europe that are a little bit warmer and drier.
Well, the French will have bread then, I suppose.
They will, especially especially up in the central and northern growing areas of France, they've got the best chance of rain.
Any place else we ought to check in on before I let you go?
China will continue with some good chances for moisture and near normal temperatures.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Don has to say again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. It's W-I-L-L. AG.org. There you can hear the weather forecast from today. You can sign up for our daily weather podcast if you'd like, along with other podcasts on agricultural programming. And for our weekend newsletter, just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. It's all free, and it's all at WILLAG.org, a service of Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.